Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We hadn't had any bloopers this season yet, have we?
There's one.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John. And yes, we did. You started one with the... And you said, the drummer, Estefario.
Estefario, yes. Yeah. That dude is a freaking beast, man.
He's ridiculous. I voted for him drummer of the year in two different categories.
I don't know how you can't say that dude is the GOAT, man.
He's a bad dude, man.
And just the stuff he does, he flips his snare upside down, and he drags his stick across it while he's doing stick tricks, and, dude is a monster.
That is a lot of time playing.
Every single minute of his life, he's probably in that room.
Yeah. I wonder, I'm sure he's been part of bands, and maybe he's a part of a band and all that stuff, but, I wonder, this is kind of, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to discredit him at all, but, it makes you wonder, how creative he is as far as, creating rhythms and stuff like that, because, you don't see him playing his own stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's adding his own twist to everything.
He's adding his own twist to other drummer stuff, and he's fantastic and does a lot of stuff one-handed. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but while he's drinking coffee or smoking cigarettes,
usually he's smoking a joint.
Whatever it is. I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But
look at the stuff around him. He's obviously smoking weed. But anyway, it just makes you wonder kind of a little bit, maybe that's why he's not – super well known. He has a huge following on social media now.
Yeah.
But you would think somebody that's that skilled would already be part of something great.
Yeah.
But it's this conversation. And look, this is not part of what we're going to talk about all night tonight, but it's like the conversation. My dad and I've talked about this a bunch with music, and specifically, there's always this, who's the greatest guitar player of all time? Let me tell you something. The greatest guitar player who ever lived, you have no idea who they are. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Because you usually don't get to hear them.
Yeah.
The people that you do hear got a lucky break.
Yeah.
That simple.
Also, too, you got to take into consideration that there's different kinds of drummers. Mm-hmm.
Big band jazz drummers.
Like a blues drummer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those
are all about the groove.
Yeah, you take a hard rock drummer. It's all different.
Yep.
You take a good old-fashioned acoustic guitar player.
Yep.
That's going to hit different than an electric guitar.
It definitely
does. There's different
yeah.
styles. There's different genres. There's different everything. It's hard to say one person is the greatest. Now, you can say
for sure
they are extremely talented.
They're pretty bad.
that dude's bad dude, but you can't.
That specific point is a commentary on I'm able to impact people that you aren't.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same idea. Because not everybody likes heavy metal. Not everybody likes rock and roll. Not everybody likes pop. Nobody likes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not everybody likes country.
So each little category has its own kind of thing going on, and it's hard to lump them all together and say, this guy's better than him.
Yeah.
Well, how do you equate that?
Yeah.
How do you possibly equate that? I'll tell you, there's one person who's better than everybody else, Jesus Christ, and that's the end of it. That's game over.
We're going to say a prayer.
Before
we get too far.
Man, we're having a crazy start already.
I know, but it's good. It's good. That means it's going to be entertaining.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be entertaining. I'll let you do the honors.
Hey, guys, if you guys are listening to us and you are not engaging in some way, shape, or form, you are missing out on an opportunity, because this is for you. It's not for us. Yeah. Now, we hash out some stuff here, without a doubt. But we would love for you to reach out to us. We would love for you to have questions for us to help us create content. There are some people I've heard that say maybe we repeat ourselves. We probably do because we're talking about our own things. Well, if you would engage with us, we'd have more things to talk about.
More stuff to kind of,
ask us questions or make a comment. Hey, you know what? If you hear something that we say and you don't agree with it, that's all right. You're welcome to tell us.
Yeah, love to hear it. Please challenge us. Let us know. Like, hey, I think you might want to rethink that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Ultimately, in the end, we're not trying to lead anybody in the wrong direction.
Absolutely
we're not trying to fool anybody. We're not trying to obscure God's word. We're doing the best we can with the interpretation that we gain from it. So
you can find us on all the major podcasting platforms like Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Apple Music. Yeah, I got it right. YouTube, we're on TikTok. We're on Lemon 8 now, as everybody was afraid of the TikTok ban. Yeah. And then Lemon 8 got banned too. Duh. we're on Instagram. They're owned by the same people. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We have an email, bswunbound80@gmail.com. We've got some phone stuff going on. Maybe we'll have some of that pretty soon. Man, we want you
some
guys to engage with
chat.
Us.
There'll be some stuff like that going on.
Talk to us. And beyond all that, we would love to pray with you if you have something to pray for. I don't know everything about the Bible, but I know a lot of God's promises, and I know how to pray about it. So
you know what would be cool? Because, you know, in the Bible, everything is in threes.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's text, whatever your message is, to
33333. As long as somebody's not using it already, right? But anyway, we wanted to get that out of the way up front. We thought maybe some of y'all aren't making it to the end of the podcast, or you know we got to the end, and it's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Hey, we want y'all to engage with this. This is for you. It's not about us. We're not here for us. We're here for everybody else. Now, along the way, we've had a lot of growth. Yeah. So as we go forward, let us pray.
Yes, sir.
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come together and get to know each other and to get to know you better, Father. We just want to commit ourselves to you. Ask that whatever it is that we talk about today, Father, that it be ordained by you, that it be called by you. And whatever we say, you are the messenger, and we are just delivering it for you. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Whew, man.
Okay, so.
A lot of energy coming out today.
I don't want to like.
I just do it.
Per se, shoot the wad too early, but we were talking about this video as we were sitting down.
It's a very interesting concept.
Yes, made you stop it because I feel like this is something that everybody can kind of gain something from.
Yeah.
I love the way he explains it.
Who is he talking to? Is that Ben Carson? I think that's Ben Carson.
I don't know, but man,
So it's George Janko.
Yes.
Speaking with somebody, and this is a very interesting concept. Bear with us. We're going to kind of hash through it. Well, that was a dud.
I want to ask you this question. It's a little deep question. I haven't fully fleshed out my answers. I kind of hide my opinion on it because it's better to tie an anchor to my neck and drop me in the abyss than to ever put people in the wrong direction of the Lord. So I pray he forgives me if I'm speaking incorrectly. But the more I read the scripture, the more I truly do not believe that hell's eternal.
No, it's not. You're gone eternally.
Yeah.
You disappear. You're burned up.
A lot of people don't agree with us.
Why would a loving God torture you forever for a lifetime that only at 7 decades.
You know, it's so funny. One day I was sitting in the neighborhood and I was really debating this in my head. And I'm like, God, I feel so bad. But I was walking around the neighborhood and I was crying out to God. And I said, God, forgive me. I don't know if I worship you because I love you or if I'm just terrified of you.
Right.
And I just don't know. And I feel like that's bad. I wouldn't want my wife to marry me. I want when I come home, her open arms, hug me, kiss me, not shaking because like I'm going to whip her butt if she doesn't love me.
Well, when you get to know God and you get to understand his character, you recognize why he does what he does. Why would he take you to heaven if you wouldn't be happy there for eternity?
Yeah.
Now that would be hell.
I was walking in the neighborhood, and after I asked that question, I saw Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on people's doors. I asked that question out of the sky, and I looked down.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
people out Kalidar. And in my heart, not an audible thing, God goes, go ask them that question. And I went to go ask them that question, and she answered me in a way that was so profound, and it stuck with me. She looked at me and she says, what is the wage of sin? I said, death. She goes, there you go. She goes, why would your God collect more? If you're not having Jesus pay your debt, then you're going to die. It's death. It's just gone. It's not torturing for a billion years, a trillion years. And again, I'm so new at reading the gospel. So forgive me, God, if I speak against you. But it just doesn't seem like the God that I'm reading.
That is that.
I don't disagree with that thought process.
That is that separation from Christ.
Yeah.
That is that separation from God for eternity. That's that death, that blackness, that darkness, that nothing, that that void.
Right. That's a lack of a relationship, right? Not having a relationship with him.
Can you imagine how depressing?
Yeah. No. No, I can't imagine that. I don't want to imagine that. I would say that. I find it very interesting. Again, I'm not sure who he was talking to. That looks like, and I think it's Ben Carson, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to say it was him. But, like, the idea that he's like, why would God punish you for an eternity for 70-year life?
Yeah.
Or an 80-year life? So you're
on average about 70 years.
Yeah, we'll say an average of 70. There are people that, well, there's at least one that lived to 122.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, why would God punish you for eternity for a life that only paid for was only valued at 120 years, or 80 years. You know what I mean? And I like the more I think. Look, I'm not saying it's right or it's accurate. It's kind of like going back to that question about the seventh day, right? Like, are we still living in God's seventh day? I don't know if it's accurate or correct.
Yeah,
but it's very interesting to think about, and the idea that maybe. Look, he was talking about, I don't know if I love you or praise you, God, because I love you or because I'm afraid of you.
Yeah.
Well, look, if you're afraid, then Scripture says, then you don't understand how perfectly God loves you, right? It says, because perfect love casts out all fear.
I am terrified.
You're terrified of punishment, right?
Yes, of course. I'm afraid of disappointing. I'm afraid of...
How can you disappoint someone who already knows what you're going to do?
I'm afraid of being, like... showing my face and being told, be gone from me, for I never knew you.
Ooh, that's stuck in your mind for a while now.
That has been in like permanently seared into my brain.
We got to figure out how to fix that, because I feel like that might be affecting your relationship. Do you not feel that way?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting you say that, because the type of person that I am, I hold on to things.
I get it.
You know, I'm.
You've said you're petty.
Yeah. Oh, I'm super petty. Yeah, I'm super petty.
He said I'm super petty.
Yeah, I am.
You are. And so continue on what you were talking about.
But I'm that dude that I hold on to things. And so when I hear something that sounds like bad news, I dwell. I kind of latch onto that, and then that kind of stays, and it goes that way for everything in my life. Like, if I hear one thing, like one little breath of bad news about something that's going on that not necessarily doesn't affect me, but if it deliberately affects me, if it ultimately does play a role in something going on in my life,
right?
I'll hold that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say it. Like, I don't know if it's maybe because I feel like I can control it if I have my hand on it. Like, maybe I can kind of steer that away from me. If I'm holding on to it, maybe I can kind of keep it at arm's length, at bay.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. Or if it's just, you know, we talk about our traumas. It's our comfort spot. And if it's something that you're familiar with, you're like, okay, man, I'm going to go ahead and grab that and hold on to it because it's something that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, you know, I'm way more comfortable in my pain. You know what I mean?
Happiness is sometimes you're just like, dude, okay, like you're sitting there waiting for the sky to fall down, you know, like you're sitting there like, all right, man, where is it at? Like something's fixing to happen.
This is going to be the weirdest and most obscure. Just bear with me. But what you're talking about, there's a song, this is a Beatles song, okay, and the Beatles, they've done some strange music over the years. In the White Album, there's a song called Happiness is a Warm Gun. If you think about it, really, it's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Happiness is that danger, that pain, that thing that hurts. You know what I mean? Like, that's how we approach life, and that's how we appropriate things as we kind of traverse this difficulty that we call life. Man.
How sad is that?
It is very, and it, like, hurts my heart to think about, really. But that's why we have to come into this relationship, right? Perfect love casts out all fear, right? It says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. This is when he says, we love because he first loved us, right? Yeah. We wouldn't even understand how to love if he didn't love us already, right? And that's 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. I skipped over 17. Think about it, though. If we are in fear of God's punishment, then clearly we aren't understanding how perfectly he loves us. That's what it says. And this is John, one of the disciples, John. John that wrote Revelation, John, right? John that wrote the book of John, the gospel of John, right? John calls himself, check this out. I don't know if you've read through the book of John.
John's favorite.
He says the one whom Jesus loved is John, right? Hey, my name is John too. Hey. No, I'm just kidding. But you see what I'm saying, like, right? Yeah. If we are continuing to live that way, then something is amiss and we haven't corrected it yet.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like it's maybe we haven't allowed God to correct it yet. Go ahead.
So it brings me back to this. When he's talking about David.
Yeah.
David and Goliath, David.
Yeah.
When he calls him a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
What do you think that looks like?
Well, baby.
I mean, do you think it's just this average dude that's just trying to figure out life, that's just like he's actively seeking and he's struggling? Or do you think it's a dude that has so much confidence in who God is and where he stands that he just knows how his standing is with God?
I think that he started that way. Right.
Yeah.
Because when he killed Goliath and he cut his head off, he definitely stood in this confidence of.
It wasn't the skull on Golgotha.
Yeah. Yes. The Goliath of Gath.
Yeah.
The thing is at the time when David.
Uncircumcised Philistine.
Yeah. David, that's David. But David's also the same. That's the same David that later made terrible decisions and killed his best friend and slept with his wife and had a child with, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this is the same man.
But he's still called a man after God's own heart.
But he started out with that confidence, and it makes you wonder if maybe he got a little cocky in that confidence and that's why he made those mistakes.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Like, I slayed, you're looking at the dude that slayed Goliath.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We all get in that mode sometimes. Like, sometimes I won't lie to people and say that I don't sometimes get in that mode where, like, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing, right? Whoa, that right there, you got to check. I got to check that. Yeah.
We talked about this.
Yeah. What happens when two hands come together?
Yeah.
You're looking for that praise. Yeah. I don't, and you know me, man, I don't even like being complimented. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
People don't understand it because it's like, why? I don't know. I've been.
I don't ever
forever.
Believe it when someone compliments me. I'm like, get out of here.
Shush up. Right.
Get to go somewhere.
But you can pay compliments real easy. You can give compliments pretty easy.
Yeah.
And you want them to believe you, right?
Well, yeah, 100%. I don't want it to be like.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Because there's not been one time when you have given me a compliment that I didn't think you meant it genuinely. Yeah. Still didn't believe it.
Get out of here.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. God, that, man.
You're not comfortable with these glasses at all.
No, I'm not. I can't see without them. But I mean, I can see, but I can't see as good.
It's not comfortable with those.
It's not comfortable with the headphones. No, it's like, you know, that part behind your ear. Starts hurting, like when you wear a hat, like sunglasses,
yeah,
and your
yeah,
hat covers your sunglasses, yeah, yeah, and it's pinching your head.
Yeah.
That's what exactly what's happening.
Squeezing right your skull through the skin.
Skull, yeah, and there ain't a whole lot in there left to squeeze out. So.
But the point being, like, that happiness is a warm gun. Like, it really, it's the first time I've actually viewed that song in that way. I always kind of viewed it as kind of silly, to be honest with you. I've listened to it a million times because I'm actually a Beatles honk. You probably didn't know that. I love the Beatles, always have, forever.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, so it was something that my mom passed on to me, and that's why there's a Beatles thing right behind you.
Yeah,
I bought that for my mom before she passed away years ago, and so whenever she did pass away, it's now mine. Yeah. but
it's
anyway.
It's like Grandma's candy dish.
I think that's, I'm pretty sure that's Grandma's candy dish, but I'm not 100% sure.
And I almost broke it earlier. I tinked on it pretty hard.
That's why we don't have nice things, right? But anyway, the idea that there's not an eternal hell to pay the punishment. And I found it real interesting when he was saying, he talked to some Jehovah's Witnesses about what the wages of sin is, right? The wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what does that mean in the grand scheme of things? Are we talking about this death, or are we talking about an eternal death? Right? So that's something that we'd have to probably dive into a little deeper to understand a little clearer.
But then you also hear these stories about people that, there's a book, I don't know the author, and I'm probably going to butcher how this is, but I remember a book coming out, and my mom was all about this book. And it's a guy that suffered a medical emergency and basically died on the table, witnessed hell, and then got brought back and wrote this book about it. And he talks about all the anguish and the screaming and all this stuff. Then you have accounts like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, clearly I think there is a hell. There is a physical lake of fire that I think that.
Yeah. But what is that for? Who is that designated for?
Do you go there to experience your final death, or?
Yeah. It's a good question.
I mean, it's hard after hearing this, I'm questioning everything now.
Well, I would say that it's hard to know. And again,
we're not going to know until we're.
I'm not saying that he's accurate. I'm not saying that what they're saying is accurate or 100%. That's definitely, you should follow that. And you know what? I love his approach. Hey, look.
Yeah, he said, I'd rather have an anchor tied around my neck and be thrown in the abyss.
Absolutely. And I am not trying to mislead anybody into thinking that there isn't this, because I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's just the first time I've ever heard actually try to explain that.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? Brave. Good on them for being brave enough.
Everybody
to say
typically, when they start talking about hell, it's like, oh, it's a lake of fire. You're there forever. You suffer forever. You're being tortured forever. Eternity. Yeah. Eternity is a long freaking time. I mean.
Okay. Let me think. Let's try to put this into like us terms, human terms. Not trying to separate ourselves from God at all, but let's try to put it into something that we really understand. I'm real uncomfortable when I have to go away for work.
Yeah.
Right. And I can't come home and be with my wife and those kinds of things.
Your normal daily routine.
Right. So it's a little bit, I wouldn't call it hell necessarily, but it's a little, it throws me off and it like makes things not comfortable. Right. So think about that on spiritual terms now. Right. Life without God, life without the presence of God, life without Christ, life without knowing them. Right. That's kind of what I think about when I think about hell. Like, it's so uncomfortable because we can't even love without him.
Yeah.
Perfect love casts out all fear. We love because he first loved us.
There's a million different. Okay, so now my mind is like, I can almost smell bacon. That's how bad my brain is fried right now. Because when you put it like that, and you really kind of look at the physical aspect of things, the love, the care, the giving, the like the stewardship, the helping, I mean, that's all godlike in us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you add that into the mix, even if you don't feel like you're actively seeking, you're not a man after God's own heart, per se.
Right.
You still are carrying the characteristics that he wants you to carry.
Sure. You're
still actively trying to participate in the things he wants you to participate in. You're still actively seeking the lifestyle he wants you to seek.
Okay, so there it is right there. The question is, I think the question that's coming about is, what is and what does it look like to be a man after God's own heart, right? Is that the question?
Yeah, that was the question.
The question truly is just continuing to seek, even though you fail. Yeah. Right? And every time I fall short, look, again, it goes back to that when we talked about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Like, you're not going to do that. If you're concerned that you're going to do that, you're probably not doing it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's the same idea. Like, the fact that
we talked about what that looked like too, and I can't remember what we decided, like, not like what it is, but like kind of,
it's basically Cliff, I think, again, is another one. I think he's the one that kind of brought it up about it's continuously refusing to heed God's call.
Yeah.
Right. And even though I don't always answer his call every single time, come on. I'm not batting 1,000 without a doubt.
Yeah.
But if you've even answered his call one time, you're clearly not refusing. Does that make sense? I don't know. Like, I feel like that, again, that's another one of those situations that can kind of get to be a little slippery slopish. Like, you know, somebody will come to me and have a completely different perspective on God's word and say, no, you got this all wrong, probably. I think the idea that if you're concerned about your relationship with Christ, then clearly you have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
That's kind of where that heads to me. If you're concerned about your relationship with God in general, look, there's no checklist. That's the problem. We live life looking for a checklist. Yeah. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this.
Yeah. Where's my gold star?
Yeah. Promise to me that I'm hitting all the marks for you.
Yeah, where's my good boy sticker for
guess
the day?
Guess what? You know what I mean? You're not. Yeah. You're not hitting all the marks. You're missing somewhere. I promise you. I don't care how good you are.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care if your name is on the front page of every religious newspaper on the planet. I don't care if you are the Pope. I don't care if you're me. You're missing it somewhere. I promise you.
Yeah.
You're missing it.
And so, that just brought up another interesting.
Come on, baby. Let's go.
So, like, the Pope, rabbis, yeah, all these people, they're expected to live basically like people look to them like they live perfect lives.
Yeah.
So
they're supposed to live as close to it as possible.
Yeah.
But we all are.
But I mean, dude, you look at how can a human live perfectly?
You can't. You're bound to mess it up.
Yeah. I mean,
almost like that fly.
You can't.
You're not capable in your own flesh. Right. Now you can look, I'm not saying that you can't get pretty close. You probably can get pretty close.
Yeah.
But you are 100% all day, every day. That's all you do. That's your life.
Yeah.
Right. I wasn't designed that way. I have a wife. I have a family. I live in the United States of America. I have to put food on the table. I have to keep the house, the roof over the head and the lights on. Right. So my focus can't 100% be on studying.
Yeah, we're not on the barter system where you
and even on the barter system you still have to focus your time on making whatever that is, yeah, right, or doing whatever that is, whatever service that is, you have to provide that. Look, is God in my mind all the time? Absolutely. Am I talking to him all the time? Yeah. Am I stopping and just praying at any given moment? Not really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Am I shutting out the whole world to go and be with him and study for all the amount of time that I had? No, I'm not. Okay, I'm not.
Yeah,
I won't sit here and lie to you like I'm studying every single chapter that gets sent to our men's group. I won't sit here and lie to you like that.
Yeah,
I won't sit here and lie to these people like that. I'm not. Am I reading some of it? Sure. And I try to incorporate that into what we do as our podcast and the daily verse that we share and stuff like that. I try to incorporate what we're looking into.
It's sometimes it's really hard to, because like I'm just not feeling something that I get sent sometimes.
There's no doubt.
So, and if I'm in, like if I'm in a book and I'm actually engaged, which I was about a week of reading two or three chapters a day and then just like
fell off
somehow,
cliff.
Somehow the transfer case got kicked in neutral, you know, and I'm just sitting idle. It's hard to grasp on some of that. Like I have my mind set on one thing. And then to kind of, if I'm engaged in that, and then to shift gears into something else, I just don't like. I'm such a creature of habit. Like I have to see this out. Like if I started, I'm like, okay, I gotta get this finished, and then I can kind of venture into this.
So what we were talking about, what you're kind of talking about, is like the fact that we're not always in the same book every day.
Yeah,
with it, and you know what? That's valid. And maybe if that's the case, then maybe we should adjust the way we do it. You know what I mean? We talked about Job and like
you can't just read one book out of that. You got to read the whole thing.
You can't read one or two chapters and catch the whole thing. You have to read that thing through and get what's going on. Same thing with some of those prophecy books like Joel and Isaiah.
I'm that way with Judges.
Judges, yeah.
I'm obsessed with that story.
Yeah. You got to get through it to kind of understand what's going on.
That's the thing is I had to start from the I learned about it talking to y'all, and I was so obsessed with that story. I hate to say the word obsessed because it sounds so bad, but I got so intrigued by that story that I had to start from the beginning. And then, you know, like I read the first chapter, and that's a hard book to read because it's a whole lot of it's out there.
A lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth.
It's out there, you know. And so I read the first chapter, and it's like, whoa, you know, I got to read it again.
Just keep going.
And you know, I've had to do that a couple times. Like just finished chapter 6. I'm going to have to read it again tomorrow because,
you know it's different in the other books, right? Like you can go into
John was probably the easiest one that I've ever read.
Yeah, you could probably go in and you can go into,
but it's a gospel. I mean, the gospels are easier. Luke's easy to read.
Yeah, you can go into one of the gospels and you can read a couple chapters and go, okay, move on to something else, right? I will say that if you know the Gospels, if you have studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the New Testament stuff, all the stuff that comes after that gets a lot easier.
Yeah.
Right? And the other thing that you recognize if you do Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you read the book of Acts, you recognize that everything that comes after the book of Acts is letters to the churches that were established in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Right? Everything that happens after Acts, that's what that's about. Right, it's letters from Peter, from John, from Paul, you know what I'm saying, to those churches that were established by the disciples after the book of Acts, you know what I mean? So, like, it starts to connect dots. The connection of dots from the New Testament to the Old Testament is tricky. It's hard. It's, like, it's real hard unless you have a guide to tell you. Yeah. That's why they make things like a concordance. Right? Or it says, hey, refer to Isaiah 43:16. Yeah. And you go back to 40. Oh, it says the exact same thing in that chapter, in that book 400 years ago. Holy smokes. That's crazy, right? So studying the Bible can be really difficult. It can be really hard. And then you got all this outside influence that makes everything so much harder. You know what I mean? Like you and me, we're sports dudes. Woo! You know how distracting sports can be?
Yeah.
And look,
last night's game sucked too, by the way. I'm sorry. I had to say that.
we were trying to be more proactive about the time frame. But yes, the national championship, that should have been Texas and not Ohio State, by the way. Two bad plays killed our chances at being national champions. Notre Dame didn't look like they belonged on the field. And the fact that that became a one-score game, shame on Ohio State. They should have stepped on their throats and never let them up.
Yeah.
Shame on Ohio State, dude, for that. But they smoked them.
Did
you see all the praise and glory for Jesus afterwards?
Yes.
From Will Howard, the dude from Notre Dame.
Yes.
Yes.
Raleigh, Leonard.
Leonard,
Yes. I just like, it just goes to show where our country is, how our country is starting to come back, because all, everybody is just praising.
Diving in. Man.
I mean, they're it's yeah. just.
My dad and I were talking about this
you
earlier.
You can't even hardly turn on a sporting event now without somebody giving praise.
Thank goodness, yes. And look, I don't want to get off on the political tangent. This has nothing to do with politics. I don't do politics. You know that. I was talking to my dad a little bit earlier because he's staunchly Republican.
Yeah.
And the way he approaches some of what's happening right now in our government, I told him, look, dude, and it's not just you, but I hate the way that everybody's approaching it like this is the savior. He's not.
No.
He's not on the throne.
No.
Christ is on the throne, period. End of discussion. Right? But then he made the point, and he and I both came to the same conclusion that, like, it really proves how desperately we need Jesus right now.
Yeah.
Because we're looking for a savior. Yeah. He's right there, man. Jesus is there. And I'm not saying that Trump isn't the right president at the right time. He could be. I don't know. I haven't seen anything happen yet. So I'm not, you know what I mean? Until we get through it, I don't know. But Christ has been the way, the truth, and the life for over 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Actually, for over 4,000 years, if you add the Old Testament, right? Christ is still the way. Nothing has changed in that regard.
Yeah.
Don't rely on a human person to be your truth, your way. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
That's kind of the false idols thing.
Yeah. And look, to step away from that, I don't want to get too far into that conversation because, like, I'm not political at all.
Digging up the old rabbit hole right there.
Yeah, know? I'm not political at all. I have my own
thoughts. I do.
Regardless of what you do, but is it best for the country?
I keep 90% of it to myself.
For sure.
Unless it's with people that I know share the same views.
Sure.
Because at this day and age, it can create, I mean, you can lose people that you care about. You can, and for what? Because you have a disagreement? Do we live in the greatest country on earth?
Still is, even with all its flaws.
That's the point, is we're free to choose.
Yeah.
Your freedoms and my freedoms, they look the same.
Yeah.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Just because we have a disagreement doesn't mean that we shouldn't be able to be friends. Absolutely. Or talk about it.
Absolutely.
But there's people that I know I can't talk about certain things with because I know it's going to affect my friendship. So I don't. I'm not actively seeking to ruin a relationship over a political view.
Yeah. Why?
You know what I mean?
My political view honestly doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
Look, there are things that were being signed into executive order yesterday by Mr. Trump, by President Trump. That I'm like, is that really a day one issue that we should be focused on day one? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are certain things that like changing the name of Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America. Is that really a day one issue?
I think that's more
a jackass move is what it is.
Dude, I think that's more just a power play. You know how
it is. Exactly.
It's just one of them. He wants to rile everybody up to a certain extent.
Florida's already using it.
Are they?
I saw it earlier today. Anyway, you see what I'm saying, though. But yeah. Like, as an American citizen, I'm like, is that really a day one issue? Day one of your presidency, I'm worried about that. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Figure out how to make prices go down. Figure out how to freaking adjust our justice system, adjust our education system. Figure out how to stop human trafficking. You know what I'm saying?
The fentanyl up in
the fentanyl. You know what I mean? Let's figure those things out. We can worry about the Gulf of America later. I don't care.
And when I first started hearing about all that and then the taking over Greenland and all this stuff, it's like the dude is known. And that's why I think so many people hate him is because, to be honest, I think a lot of it is just him just – it's a show. Mm-hmm. It's just him being like, watch this. I'm going to ruffle some feathers.
Hold my beer.
Yeah. Hold my beer. Watch this. Yeah, I think that's what it is. But
no doubt.
I do like I'm not going to say I like. I love a lot of the views that he has and a lot of the stances that he's taken. I do love that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like people are so into this, into what he's doing, they're forgetting what's really important. We are, as a nation, we are in dire need of a true king.
Yeah.
And
there's only one.
I can feel it kind of starting to come around. I can feel like the vibe. Like I said, nowadays, like a sporting event comes on and there's somebody giving glory to God. Like there's somebody.
More and more often.
It's happening.
Before I say anything else, I just want to give glory to God. Yes. You know what I mean? And more that's happening.
Yes. Everybody, it's just seems like it's becoming normalized again.
Yeah.
Which is.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Because there was a point when, you know, if you drop to your knee and you put your hands up and you did any kind of gesture, everybody's mocking you. Everybody's, you know what I mean? Dana White.
Yeah.
Told nobody wants to hear about your Jesus. Yeah. I mean,
well, maybe they do.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do.
I think they do.
And I'm not trying to, probably shouldn't have said that.
We're just going off of what we've seen him say.
It's not, and I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm just saying it was so normalized, people not necessarily denying Christ, but not giving the glory to God that.
Well, so the thing is, to me, though, actively avoiding is still actively denying, right? It's the same idea. If you're avoiding saying anything or talking about it, then obviously you're denying it, right? Like, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to ruffle any feathers or hurt any feelings.
That kind of like we are on our political views.
Political views are different, though. This has nothing to do with eternal stuff.
Well, no, that, but
yeah,
I'm
for sure.
I'm just using it as a comparison.
Yeah, for sure. And like our political views, like the thing for me is, I'm not one or the other. I'm not left side, right side. I really am not. Like, because to me, if the right side has something that's good for all of us, I'm good with that. And if the left side has something that's good for all of us, I'm good with that. As long as it's good for all of us and it's the right thing, right? It's morally good. It's good for us as a country, as an economy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm down for either side. I don't really care one way or the other. I'm staunchly in the middle.
Yeah.
Which is weird, I know, maybe, because that's not how this country operates. But I have been opposed to party politics since I was in middle school. Seriously. I'm not about the parties.
But that's what America has come to.
I know. It's a
problem. You're either right or you're left.
Or you're right.
Everybody's taken. Everybody's taken away the fact that we're all human. We all bleed red.
Mm-hmm.
You're either like I've said it a million times. 2025. People are still harping on, you know, right, left. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you believe. Well, I do care what you believe in, but I don't care what your political beliefs are. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what race you are. I give not to any about
Chingoles.
Any. If you are a person that I can talk to and you have, and we can mutually respect each other and we have the same kind of moral compass, you're a good person to me and I can have a conversation. We can be friends.
Yeah. We can have a mutual disagreement.
Yes, exactly.
And still be friends. It's cool.
It's become so normalized in America that people, if you're not right, then you know, get out of here. If you're not left, then get out of here.
Yeah, you know, and it's sad to me because we are a country that thrives on conflict. We love conflict.
Tell me about it.
And look, even one of my sons has told me, talking about the podcast, like, dude, you should have some controversy. You need to have somebody in. It doesn't even have to be real. Just have somebody say some stuff and, like, y'all get heated. He's like, it'll draw attention. And I'm like, oh, I hate that you're right. I hate that you're right that's exactly right. That's not what we're going to do. So we're not going to feign anything to make that happen. But he's not wrong. That's the way people approach things now.
I know he's not wrong, but, okay, let's just say – that we decided to do that.
God, I feel like I'd be selling my soul for that.
Yeah, but hear me out.
Go ahead.
Let's just say we decided to do that. Like, oh, we got an email from this person. Uh-huh. And they're like, and then we make this some big spectacle, heated debate, and we drag all this drama in and everything and all this stuff. It only takes one slip up. Someone's going to ask, and it's hard to remember a lie.
Yeah.
Someone's going to ask at some point, probably maybe a real listener, whatever happened with that? Yeah. And they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Then not only do you look like Millie frickin' Vanilli, you know what I mean? You look like a total freaking jackwagon, but then your credibility's gone.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not saying that that's what matters, but we started this to do God's will willingly. It's kind of hard to be the people that we are projecting ourselves to be, and we're kind of manipulating these these things. I mean, yes. Yeah. I mean, it sells. It sells. Sex sells. Violence sells. Drama sells. That's.
I don't want any of the. Well, I'm not gonna say I don't want sex, but.
But you
not
get
with
it.
You.
Golly.
I took but it you there, get it. Didn't I? Sorry.
But you get it.
Yeah.
Those three things sell. Look at Hollywood. Every big success is a thriller, or of course comedies. Drama.
People love to laugh, man.
You know, it's easy to sell those.
Yeah, it's crazy to me how the horror, like rush that's going on in the Hollywood world. Like, there's so much horror movies coming out all the time now. When I was young, like, the slasher movies came out, it was Halloween time only, and, like, you didn't have horror movies for every single freaking part of your world or year.
I'm gonna bring up a movie.
Not horror movies, horror.
I'm going to bring up a movie, and I'm not bringing it up to discredit or bash or anything. I'm bringing it up to talk about how uncomfortable it made me feel. Mm. I was referenced a movie to watch. Santa with Jack Black. Not knowing what it was about, I kind of was a little, you know, skeptical at first because Santa had horns.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, you know, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. Well, as it's going on, it's a kid with a dyslexia, and he writes Santa a letter, but he spells it Satan. And Jack Black shows up as Satan, and it's supposed to be a Christmas movie. So, you know, within 5 minutes into it, I told my wife, like, hey, I can't. That was the Christmas movie that came out this year.
Yeah.
I'm really?
Yeah.
And they're not painting Satan as a bad dude. Like, he's this little boy's friend. And it's like all this stuff. And I'm just like, dude, this is right here the problem. Like,
And more of that is happening. Right, more and more.
That's why when you see athletes hit their knee and they're praying and they're giving glory to God and they're confessing that Jesus is their Lord and Savior with their tongues in their mouths, it's like, this is awesome. This is the kind of things that we need.
It oddly enough, the sporting world has started to lean more toward a spiritual thing, which makes me feel more comfortable with imbibing it more often, right? Yeah. Because, like, man, these dudes are really, like, selling out for Jesus, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
it's college athletes the most, man. College athletes are...
You ain't never lied. Like, these college coaches, too. Like,
these kids...
Hey, we follow Jesus on this team, you know what I mean? Like, okay,
These kids are...
Who's the guy from Boise State? Not the player Ashton Genty, the coach from Boise State. Like, he was...
Oh, yeah.
Man, he was talking about the character of Jesus and all this stuff about his team, and I was like, this is a guy I would want to play for. Yeah. That's a guy
this
I want
This is a guy
life.
That I want to go out and play and leave all my...
Everything.
On the field for,
I would want my children were going to be college athletes, I want them to go play for a coach like that. You know what I mean?
But that's part of it, too. So, like, you know, like me and Champ, we watch games. We watch college games. We watch games.
Yeah, you still have young kids.
And
I
you
don't.
Want... Like, he sees that. And this kid is... Like, right now, he's that...
He's all in.
He's everything is sports to him, and I like that's awesome that he's seeing these athletes doing this, and you know we're going to church, and we're normalizing that it's okay,
right?
And I love that for him to sit and watch that, and he sees that, and it's just like. You can see the gears turning. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
I saw him Sunday. He was tired. I could tell. Oh, man. And I'm over there picking on him like, hey, bro, we're at church, bro. We got to have some energy. Let's go. We'll get the baptized today. So, you know,
he sang the national anthem.
Right. I meant to ask you about that.
The night before, he sang the national anthem. He did with his choir.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Group, my kid. I was like, he's singing the national anthem?
It was either it was either do that or write an essay.
And
he's like, I'm singing the national anthem. And so him and a bunch of his buddies, you know, and the whole choir group, whatever, they sang.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it was over, he texts me. He's like, I'm ready to go. So I had to go over to the student section and get him, you know, bring him over there. Of course, he was hungry. He was thirsty. All this stuff's going on. And he's like, kind of like, huddled up next to me. He's like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I'm like, dude, you know, the game really just started and we invited people to watch you. You're going to have to chill.
Yeah.
And let these people that bought tickets kind of watch a little bit of the game. And he's like, okay. Well, then he was like, Dad, we got 33 minutes. I have a Rocket League tournament. And I'm like, okay, we'll go. Well, we're like, not even to sundown. He's like, Dad, I got 3 minutes before my tournament starts. And I'm like, dude, it's snowing. I'm doing 55. I got my entire family in the car, like my wife, my mother, my son. Like, it's everybody's in the car. I'm not putting this thing in the ditch for you to play a freaking video game tournament. Dude. Yeah. But we made it. He missed the first game, but he got to get in on the rest of it. And that kid was up till my wife got up like at 12:30, and she could still hear him in there screaming and hollering. And so I know he was up late. But dude, when I got him up, I told him get ready. He got dressed and laid back down. I just got through combing this kid's hair, and I open the door and he's out drooling all over his sleeve, and I'm just like dang, yeah, bro. Get up, dog. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyways, that part of the that conversation was pointless, but that's why he was so tired. He was.
It's cool.
That kid was struggling.
We have to acknowledge that brother Kevin got baptized, rebaptized this week. I got the pleasure
sister
and opportunity
got
to baptize, and sister one of the three sisters got baptized.
Got baptized.
Our two wives,
baptized
their other sister. Such a great thing to be a part of. I was telling people as we were there, man, like, this is one of my favorite days. I get the chance to baptize somebody in the name of Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, who anointed me with that power or that right or that response? It was Jesus. He did. He gave me the right and the responsibility to do it. But it's so cool.
You can't take anything away from that, because that's like the ultimate. Like,
yeah.
That's man.
Somebody said to me,
dude,
once.
That's you taking one on the chin and being like,
yeah,
I surrender.
Somebody said to me a couple times it's been said about notches in my belt, basically. And I told you how
we
kind
talked of, about that. And kind of,
not real comfortable with that thought process. Because
you should keep record of it.
It's not. But I got to bring this up. Our daughter, I was baptized her, and she gave me the picture of us after I baptized her for Christmas. I framed it. It was framed up and I put it on the wall. And I was like, you know, for the family wall, I would love to have all those for the people that are in our family. Like when I baptized you, when I baptized brother Kevin, my dad is a part of that conversation. Terry baptized Lala and Renee, you know what I mean? Like, it would be just cool to have those at times. We can just kind of look up and remember what this is all about. You know what I mean? Yeah. Not to glow.
I'm walking away.
I'm going to make them let us get back in that pool, dunk you again, and turn around and hug me.
I was so overwhelmed
Yeah. It happened real weird, a little bit strange. You were first. You were first.
Yeah.
You were hoping to be last.
I wanted to be last. I did not want to be the first spectacle. And they
you went like this. You were walking away like this. And I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, bro.
And that, there was an overwhelming feeling going into, like,
yeah,
going into the water. Like, I'm getting goosebumps right now. Going into the water, I was having this overwhelming feeling, like, not all good, yeah. Not bad. Not, I mean, no, don't take
that. Yeah, for sure.
Like, I was having this overwhelming feeling.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Am I worth this? Like, who am I to be doing this? Like, this daunting, heavy feeling of all this as we're going down in there. And then I realized, like, I'm on camera and I can hear all them start cheering. And then it's like, I'm like, oh, you know, like, fist pump my way out of this. I'm gonna fist pump my way out of this thing. And
I remember.
It wasn't until like I hugged you. We walked out. I changed. We walked back out into the congregation, and I saw everybody sitting there. It wasn't until then that I realized. I'm like, it was a huge deal. I'd been talking to you about it for months. Yeah, hey, I want to do this. It wasn't until I walked out and I saw everybody that I realized how big of a deal it was. And then, like, the emotions kind of set in. Then I was like, oh, my God. Like, oh, my gosh.
My dad came in full front, hugged you.
Yeah,
and all that.
And it was like, it's a huge honor to be given the opportunity to be able to be baptized. The emotions were running so rampant going in. That's why I wanted to be last.
Yeah.
Like, I want to, like, okay, let's
deal with all this before I get there.
Yeah, I want to decompress and go through all the feelings beforehand.
Yeah. Well, and beyond that, like, so being on your end of the conversation, the one getting baptized, right? Like, I've been on that side of the story too. Because I was baptized once before when I was younger at a Baptist church when I was probably 12.
Yeah.
It was my decision, don't get me wrong, but I don't think I fully understood what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then I spent a lifetime avoiding church, you know what I mean, before getting involved with the church we're in now. And it's surreal for me to be standing in the water going, I'm going to put you under this water. In the name of Jesus and pull you back up a new creation.
Yeah.
I always am standing there. I'm always like, I'm in my own head too. Just like you're in your own head, right? I'm in my own head going, me?
Yeah.
Me?
You really start to consider your, like, who am I?
Who am I?
To be stand like
that the Lord of all the earth, right?
Like, yeah. It's like, you're going to, like, this man is going to baptize me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be born a new creation when I come out of the water.
Yeah.
Who am I that I feel like I'm worthy to be standing in here?
You're not. It's a gift.
I know, but dude, that's what the problem was. Like, I was just like, I'm like,
and you were first.
Yeah, and so I'm like,
there's like, a whole line of people behind.
Yeah, there's a whole line of people watching me.
It was
you
like
know?
13 people.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge baptismal that Sunday, and it's my wife was one of the ones behind me. I mean, there was a lot of
such good news, all of it, and all the stuff that we go through as people. It's like, why do we just focus on all this?
But it reminds you of the human aspect of it all.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Like, and I think
we question everything. I'm Dude.
Bro.
Don't look at me like that
because I'm looking right back at you.
I question everything. Yeah. Like, I am the most freaking, like, everything is a possibility. Everything can 100%. Go wrong. Yeah. Everything.
Skepticism is deeply entrenched. It's
hard to just go with it. Like, oh, man, this is it. This is, and just evolve and go through it. That's impossible for me.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
Right. Faith is it's an act. It's an action. Yeah. Right. It's kind of like love. Love is like something you can't quantify physically, but it's very tangible at the same time.
It's tangible, but not at the same time.
Yeah. Like, it's like faith is the same kind of idea. Yeah. It's tangible, but it isn't at the same time. It's
Faith and love are a lot alike.
Very much so. Yeah.
When you start losing faith, and I've been there.
Yeah, me too.
When you start losing faith, you literally feel like you could die. It's the same way with love. When you lose a loved one, the heartache, you literally feel like you could die.
You feel like you can't and take it's when in air.
Yeah, when your faith is leaving your body at an exponential rate, mm-hmm. when you're questioning everything about your existence and who you are and why you're here and everything about your faith is just dissipating in the atmosphere like it's nothing.
Like a vapor.
I'm telling you, it's like a physical pain. So, yes, at that point, it is very much tangible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is something you can feel.
Yeah, without doubt.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
It's just funny how those things are kind of, it's just so.
How the fabric of them two are so intertwined.
So intertwined. Yeah. Yeah, very
it's
much
like
so.
It's like 300 thread count Egyptian cotton. You know what I mean? Like they're so interweaved in there so tightly that you don't even realize it.
We're going to go, we're going to have a little bit longer episode today because I don't want to bypass this this video. And it really kind of ties into the qualification thing.
Where are we at? I kind of felt like we were like about the 30 minute mark.
No, we're at 61 right now. So we're going to go a little bit longer today, which is fine. We've never put a time limit on this thing. If the conversation takes us where we are, we take it there. But some of what we've talked about kind of ties into that conversation that Mel Gibson was having with Joe Rogan.
Oh, yes.
And about the thief on the cross.
Yes.
And we've talked about this before, but his kind of what he was talking about, it really is very powerful. And I think that we can kind of add on to the final part of this conversation.
Yeah, this what's happening right here.
The Creator is above the law. I mean, it's an interesting fact to note that the first canonized saint, you know who it was? The first ever confirmed canonization as a saint was Dismas. You know who Dismas was?
No.
He was the thief on the cross next to Jesus. And he says to him, "You're going to be okay. This day, you'll be with me." Unbaptized, criminal, all that stuff. So the lawmaker is above the law. So there's a lot of mercy.
I mean, think about it for a second. The thief on the cross. There were three men on the crosses that day. One in the middle being Jesus. And then the other two
saying,
being criminals.
If you really are who you say you are, then save us right now.
Yeah. The one on the right and one on the left. One says, "Prove it." The other said, "You fool?
Yeah.
Don't you know God?
Who this is?
Yeah. Don't you know God when you look him in the face?"
Yeah.
And then this man who was on that cross as a criminal who had never been baptized, who never had an experience with Christ ever until this moment, is the first confirmed.
Ooh-wee.
Come on, bro. Where is your qualification? Your qualification doesn't come from you. Right?
That's proof.
That's absolute That's proof. And his name was Dismas.
Dismiss.
Dismiss. Oh, I didn't put that together.
Dismiss.
Dismiss all of it. Yeah. Dismiss all of that BS, all those things I did wrong.
Dismiss, yes.
Where's the bell? We dismissed.
Yeah. we need one of them, like a dinner bell.
when we were young and in high school, not even high school, junior high, elementary school, we waited for that bell. The end of the bell. That 3:15 bell.
Mine was 3:25.
It was 3:25. Bro, we're the same age.
Yeah,
the same age.
3:25. And it would, but it when my sophomore, my junior and senior year, it was 11:35. I got out before lunch.
Ah.
I worked.
You did the work program.
Yeah, yeah. Worked. I worked, man. I got a taste of making money one summer. I worked for my uncle. It's where I got into welding. I worked for my uncle for a summer. Like, I'd worked for him. Like, I mean, my summers as an 11-year-old, if I wanted a bike, my mom would send me off to go work.
For sure.
I'd save money, buy a bike, you know. So, summers 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, all just, but I never took it serious. It's just BS. I'd go in there and make swords, make knives. I mean, do dumb stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that summer going.
You learned something.
That summer before I got my license, I worked and I took it serious and I made money and I saved my money and I wanted a car.
Right.
Well, I was still playing football. I was still doing all that stuff. And my mom told me, you know, if you want a car, you got to work. I mean, my mom was a single mother working three jobs. So I decided at that point, like, athletics are no longer important to me. I'm getting into DECA. I'm going to start working. I'm going to get out of school early to go to work. So that's what I did. And that was, I mean, that was the epitome of everything at that point.
Having a car?
Yeah, dude. I wanted one so bad I couldn't stand it. My mom's like, look, I'll help you get one, but you got to pay for it.
Yeah, you're going to have to do your part, big dog.
My first car cost me $800.
Back when you could buy a decent car for $800.
I got an 86 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, dude. And like a G-body, like a not vinyl top.
Yes.
Dude, velvet seats. I mean, this car.
What color was that bad boy?
Gray.
Gray.
With
oh.
a white vinyl top.
Nice.
I mean, this car was.
My big brother had a green one.
Dude, I love this. And it had a gangster lean.
It leaned to one side.
Like a son of a buck, too, man. You'd start it, and about the first 10 minutes it was running.
There was oil burning everywhere.
Probably burned a quart of oil in 10 minutes, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. That is awesome. Oh, my goodness gracious. This has been a very fun evening. I hope everybody has enjoyed. I think it's been entertaining, but also we've broached some very serious topics, some of which we probably have to reapproach again at some point. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of where we're going because we don't come in here script. And a lot of that, you know, some people might frown upon that, but honestly, just in doing some research recently, there's a pastor gentleman that we've talked about or we've actually seen. He's the African-American gentleman. He's the one that had the guy jump up on or come running up to him on stage. He's like, hey, man,
pray for me.
Yeah,
he's like, you can't do that, man. You're going to get shot.
You're going to get shot in here. I watched him talking about how he is not allowed to, God told him he's not allowed to write down his sermons anymore. He's got to approach it from a... You know, he plans, organic, but at the same time, organic. He's organic. So yeah. It makes me feel like we're doing things the way we're supposed to. So we're not super rehearsed. And so, you know, we might have to revisit conversations, probably going to have to.
Yeah.
If you read the Bible enough, you know that the same topics come up repetitively.
Yeah, and they always seem to mean something different.
Every time. And so, again, I still challenge everybody, if you're listening – man, come on, reach out to us. Give us something. Help us. Talk to us.
Yeah.
You can email us. You can reach out to us through Facebook and Instagram. You can talk to us through TikTok even. You can comment on that. You can comment on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, all those kinds of things. We have a phone number. I'm not sure about reaching out yet. I'm not sure yet. 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 Give me a minute. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this whole thing. It's not an 800 number either. It's a local number. So, you know, you got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
But
start giving people area codes, things can get pretty Western.
Next thing I know, I'm waking up in the middle of the night answering phone calls. Okay.
All right. So this one kind of jumped off the page. I'd like to say thanks to all the sidewalks in my life for keeping me off the street.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Best one we've had in a while. I like that one. This one jumped out for some reason. There was a couple that did today. Carl Jung. I am not what happened to me. I am what I choose to become.
Oh. Oh. Oh, young grasshopper.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. So it's just a reminder to me that we got a choice in this matter.
Yeah.
We can choose to be or we can choose not to be. That is the question. So stupid. I'm so dumb. I'm so dumb.
Ha! Ha! I was kidding.
I love it. Love it. Love it.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. Please continue to listen. Share it with your friends, guys. Yeah. If you're not, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Dude, in all seriousness, though, man, I love doing this show with you.
Me too, bro.
I feel like we're on the right path. I know we're impatient. hopefully in the next couple weeks, we'll be in the new booth. Kind of looks like that. That's a possibility. So
sometime before the end of February, be my goal.
Yeah, I'm really looking for before the middle
by of Valentine's February. Day.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Just to kind of solidify a spot that's dedicated.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. Not that this isn't just.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd be nice. I mean,
we'll show y'all some before and after. Yeah,
show you kind of where we're at now, and then we'll get you a glimpse of what we're looking at.
Gosh, I feel like I should have been taking pictures of where we started, like before all the curtains and the soundproof stuff.
Bro, remember when we used to sit facing the TV, sitting beside each other before the table? We'd both sit on the same side and we'd look at the TV and we're like looking sideways at each other the whole time. Like,
so funny. So funny. Hey, you know, we're also trying to flesh out new guests. We had a new guest on the last episode, Derek. Thank you so much, Derek, for coming on.
Yes,
we had some 100%. Good conversation. He will definitely be a repeat a guest. We're trying to breathe a little bit of new life.
We're working on some other content too that I think will be very interesting for the opposite sex.
Yeah, for sure.
For the women, yep. I think that's a very exciting future for that. I mean,
yeah.
That'll be something that I think some female listeners can really indulge in to hear women talking about. And
as you said, like, this is a people's podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are geared towards men because we are men. So it's like that's what we relate
to. It's hard.
To,
it's hard not to stay on that. But, yep, yeah, we're doing our best.
We're doing it for everybody and not just doing it for the dudes. You know, the dudes are part of the conversation, clearly. But, you know, we want to do it for everybody because we'd love for everybody to grow and to have a relationship with Christ because we know that he's the one that needs to be on the throne. That's going to be the best thing for us, the best thing for our country, for our community, for everything.
I think that's
the
best way to serve God.
Amen, brother. Amen. We thank you. We love you.
For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.